So today we'll read a little bit from Rajavidya, the King of Knowledge. Just a little bit, we'll read and then discuss. This is chapter 4, Knowledge by Way of the Mahatmas, Great Souls. The presence of Krishna in all aspects of the creation is perceived by the Mahatmas, the Great Souls, who are always engaged in the worship of Krishna. As Krishna himself states, these great souls are conversant with the confidential knowledge found in the ninth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, and they know Krishna to be the source of all things. Mahatmanastumam partha daivim prakritim ashrutaha bhajantyananya manaso gyatva bhutadimavyayam. O son of Pritha, those who are not deluded, the great souls, are under the protection of the divine nature. They are fully engaged in devotional service because they know me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, original and inexhaustible. Bhagavad Gita 9:13. The great soul knows without a doubt that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that he is the origin of all emanations. The Vedanta Sutra states, Atato Brahmajigyasa. Human life is meant for inquiring about Brahma. At present, we are all engaged in studying temporary, small things. Brahma means the greatest, but instead of concerning ourselves with the greatest, we have become enmeshed in trying to solve the animal problems of eating, sleeping, defending, and mating. These small problems are automatically solved. Even the animals are enjoying mating, sleeping, eating, and defending. The arrangements are all provided. These demands of the body are not really problems, but we have made them into problems. Vedanta Sutra enjoins us not to concern ourselves with these problems, for they are satisfied in any form of life. Our problem is to inquire about the source of all these manifestations. The human form of life is not meant for struggling hard to solve the material problems which even a hog, a stool eater, can solve. A hog is considered the lowest among animals, yet he has eating facility, mating facility, sleeping facility, and facilities for defense. Even if we don't strive for these things, we will have them. Man is meant, rather, to find out the source from which all these things are coming. The Vedanta Sutra states that Brahma is that from which everything is emanating. Janmadyasyatah. Philosophers, scientists, yogis, gyanis, and transcendentalists are all trying to find out the ultimate source of everything. This source is given in Brahma Sangita, Sarva Karana Karanam. Krishna is the cause of all causes. So, this is the business of the Mahatmas, to take shelter of Krishna. To take shelter of Krishna and Krishna's divine energy. Daivim prakritim ashrita. Daivi prakriti means divine energy, spiritual energy. Elsewhere, Srila Prabhupada comments that it means Srimati Radharani. Radharani is the energy of the Lord for giving pleasure. She gives pleasure to Krishna, and she gives pleasure to the devotees of Krishna. That pleasure comes from devotional service. That's actually the pleasure energy. In the material world, we're trying to take pleasure in lording it over this or that, exploiting somehow or other. We're trying to extract pleasure from the objects with which we come in touch. Either things, people, whatever. we see, this is for my pleasure, this is for my pleasure, this is for my pleasure. Or we're avoiding, this is not for my pleasure, this is nasty. So we're trying to avoid the things which are displeasing to us and go after the things which are pleasing. But that's not actually the way to get pleasure. It's not actually the constitutional pleasure platform of the living being. We're looking for things to give us pleasure because we've forgotten our real nature, in which pleasure is automatically to be found. Our real nature is the nature of devotional service. Jivarsha Rupoyan Krishnara Nityadas. The real nature of every living being, the real constitutional position of every living being, is to be a servant of Krishna. And when one is engaged in that happy position, automatically he gets pleasure because he's in touch with the source of all pleasure. He's in touch with Krishna and Krishna's pleasure energy. How is he in touch? By devotional service. Devotional service itself gives the greatest pleasure. It gives pleasure to Krishna and it gives pleasure to the devotees. So the materialists, not knowing of this transcendental pleasure, not knowing of their eternal nature, try to take shelter of the material energy. Rakshasim asriyam chaiva prakritim mohinim shritaha. The same thing, prakritim ashritaha. But what prakriti, what nature are they taking shelter of? The living being has to take shelter because we're tiny. We need shelter. We need shelter. Just like any one of us, if we're out in the world, we look for shelter, either an apartment or a hotel, or if you're very poor, then under a shed or a tree or something, we're looking for shelter. And in the greater way, we're looking for shelter for our life. But prakritim mohinim shrita, materialistic life means that we're taking shelter of the illusory energy. Prakritim mohinim shrita. Maya. Maya. Prakritim, the bewildering energy. The energy by which we forget who we really are. We think that we're something we're not. We think that we're these bodies. We think that the things of this material world will actually make us happy. This is all illusion. We not only don't the things of this world make us happy, but entanglement with the things of this world is a source of distress. Dukkha yoni evate. Yadanchabanta konteya nateshu evate. An intelligent person doesn't take part in this so-called pleasure of the material world, because he sees it has a beginning, it has an end, and actually it's a source of distress. Dukkha yomiya imate. So, nateshu ramate buddha, an intelligent person, doesn't go after that. But a person who has lost his intelligence, moghasha, mogha karma, mogha jnana, vichetasa. Vichetasa means he's turned away from Krishna. He's turned away from Krishna. Vimokha Chaitasa, Indriyartha. He's turned his face away from Krishna and he's very much interested in trying to satisfy the senses of this material body. Maya Sukhaya Bhadamudvahata Vimutta. And then he's chasing false happiness in a humbug civilization. Maya Sukhaya Bhadamudvahata, a burdensome civilization. So he's taken shelter, but he's taken shelter in the wrong place. Prabhupada said, Maya says, come on, take shelter of me and let me kick you very nicely. We're doing that. This is the business of the duratmas, or the materialistic persons. But mahatmas, the great souls, take shelter of Krishna and Krishna's divine energy, the energy of devotional service. Bhajanti, the way to come in touch with the energy of devotional service is by devotional service. Bhajanti. Bhajanti means they engage in service. Bhajanti. Ananya manaso. Ananya manaso means without any side interest. Ananya, with an undivided mind. No anya manasa. No other. Arna kriya maniyasha. Guru mukha padma bhakya chate te kriyayakya. Arna kriya maniyasha. He aspires that I don't want to have any other desire but the desire to serve Guru and Krishna. Arna kriya maniyasha. This is ananya manasa. Not this much for me, this much for you, this much for you, this much for you. Everything. But let me simply dedicate myself to Krishna because my other needs are going to be taken care of anyway. Krishna's already provided, he's already made an arrangement for all of my material necessities. I don't have to dedicate my life to thinking, how will I eat? Where will I sleep? How will I get food? What about mating? Because we have this body, we have the arrangement for all these things already there. The body is part of the greater machinery of the material world. And that machinery is made in such a way that there's hunger and there's food. There's a need for a place to stay and there are places to stay. Everything's already arranged. The ant is getting his grain of sugar, the elephant is getting his ton of sugar. It's Krishna's arrangement that everything is provided. And if we try to increase, it won't work anyway. As much as we're destined to get, that much we'll get. We're destined to get more and more will come no matter what. If we're destined to get less, we'll get less. But some arrangement will be there. We don't have to try so hard. Where will I get food? How will I get this? If we take shelter, just like if you work for the army, suppose you join the army. So you just have to think how to fight. You don't have to think, how will I eat? Because you join the army will feed you. The army will see to, you know, where will I get clothes? The army is going to give you the uniform. All your basic necessities, the army is going to provide because they want you to fight. And they're going to take care of you. Even the army takes care of your dental, your medical, all of those things. You don't have to think about all of those things. You simply have to think how to serve the army, and the army will take care of those things. So if the small, insignificant army is capable of taking care of so many men, then what to speak of Krishna? Krishna will, he takes care of everyone, and especially he takes care of his devotees. Ye bhajanti tamam bhaktya mayi te teshu chatya. He has a very affectionate relationship with his devotees. So what to speak of taking care of their physical needs? Krishna says, I'll take you back to Godhead. So what to speak of the material necessities? So we simply have to enlist in the service of Krishna. And Krishna will provide. This is Rakshasyati ti vishvaso. Gopcha tve varanam tata. Krishna will protect me. Krishna will maintain me. I simply have to do whatever is favorable for Krishna's service. Reject everything that's unfavorable for Krishna's service. Always serve Krishna with humility, depending on Krishna. And Krishna will certainly provide. Krishna will do everything. This is Krishna consciousness. This is the position of the Mahatmas. The Mahatmas don't have to, aren't preoccupied with thinking, yeah, but what about our food? What about our this, that? They're simply thinking, what about Krishna's service? Okay. preoccupied with Krishna's service, and the other things are coming.
Hare
Krishna. The other things are coming automatically. Bhajanti ananya manaso. They're not diverting their minds. They're not trying to cover their bases and, you know, worship Krishna on Monday and Lord Shiva on Tuesday and Ganesh on Wednesday. Not knowing for sure who's who. Like in America, the big companies, during election time, they give to both parties. So whichever party comes into power, they've given a contribution, so they're well situated. So the devotee's not like that, that I have to give some energy to all the different gods, just in case, you know, whoever comes up on top. He knows that Krishna, Ahamadiri Devana, he's the source of all the devas. Om Tad Vishnu Paramam Padam Sadapa Shanti Sure. All the suras, all the devas, they're always looking toward the lotus feet of Vishnu. So if I put food in the stomach, I feed the whole body. If I water the root of the tree, I water the whole tree. And if I serve Krishna, then I'm automatically serving all living entities, what to speak of the various demigods. So ananya manasa, he's simply focused on Krishna. Like Krishna's devotees, they're practically, they're not even interested in Vishnu. Of course they're interested, but they're specifically focused on Krishna. There's some incident that, of course this is the spontaneous devotees, but in Vrindavan, the gopis were looking for Krishna. Krishna's hiding. And then they started catching up with him. So Krishna transformed himself into Narayan. Puram Narayan. So then the gopis offered their obeisances. Oh, Lord Narayan, we offer our respectful obeisances to you. Have you seen Krishna? So Lord Narayan pointed an arm or two in some direction. And they're not interested in anyone else but Krishna. Simply interested in Krishna. Ananya manasa. Gyatva. They know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bhutarim. He is the source of all manifestations, the source of all living entities, the source of all material manifestations. Aham sarvasya prabhuvo mata sarva vipravartite iti matva pajante imam buddha bhava samandvita. The devotees are full of ecstasy engaging in the devotional service of Krishna. Bhutanim. He's the origin. And avyayam. He's inexhaustible. Material world, everything gets exhausted. We get exhausted. Whatever we're turning to for happiness also gets exhausted sooner or later. You earn some money and start spending it as soon as exhausted. But Krishna is inexhaustible. As the sun appears inexhaustible in this material world, it just keeps giving sunshine. But Krishna is the source of the sun. He's inexhaustible. We get exhausted just taking care of our home and wife and a few children. And Krishna has got 16,108 wives and 10 children by each wife. And he's never... It's not a problem for Krishna. He can take care of so many and always be full of transcendental fullness. Purnam. Purnasya purnam adaya. This is, therefore he's inexhaustible. Purnasya purnam adaya purnam eva vishishyate. Even if you take everything away from him, he's full still. He remains, Prabhupada said, the complete balance. Material world, there's exhaustion because you take away. You have so much energy, and then you subtract half. Now you have only half left. You have so much money, subtract half. Half is left. But Krishna, if you subtract half, the whole is left. You subtract. Sariputta Prabhu gives an example that if you subtract, you take the full set of numbers, all the numbers there are, and now subtract all the even numbers. How many numbers are left? Yeah, but how many?
Infinite.
Even if you subtract the infinite number of even numbers from Krishna, still, all the odd numbers are there, and there's no limit. Or another example, that even if you have a hotel with an infinite number of rooms and an infinite number of guests check in, how many rooms are left? So this is Krishna. He's infinite. He can accommodate everyone. He has infinite energy, infinite power, infinite beauty, knowledge, strength, wealth, renunciation, fame, everything. We're infinitesimal. Krishna's infinite and we're infinitesimal. But together, the infinite and the infinitesimal are very good. Like a jewel in a nice setting. So the combination of the living entity and Krishna is a happy combination. And the living entity just by himself is the miserable, poor conditioned soul. So our business, therefore, is to follow the Mahatmas, Mahajana Yena Gata Sipanta, to follow their example, follow their process, engage in devotional service, practice in such a way that we can gradually come to the stage of pure devotional service. Anyabhilashudashunya, ananyamanasa, unalloyed devotional service, then our life becomes successful. Hare Krishna. Are there some questions? There's no question there. Someone dies and his descendants are offering shraddha, food and water and so on. How does and but he's already gone to another body, so how does it work? I don't know how it works. I don't run the system. Somehow it works. Specifically, it's if the soul is trapped in some ghostly life or something like that, then he can be released by that shot. But in any case, benefit. Or if he's gone to some undesirable situation. Just like we take somebody, we give him prasadam. He's already in some body. And he's in some sort of life, he's working for some company, he's in a family, he has all these things. But you give him some prasadam, it may change his life. Something like that. Something else? Oh, everyone's tired today. Fate and destiny? No difference. Daiva. Fate and destiny are just two English words for the same thing. Fate and destiny. And fate and destiny are both synonyms of Krishna's arrangement. Finally, daiva means the arrangement of the Supreme Lord. Adhishthana tatha karta karanam cha pratak bhita vivirascha pratak cheshta daivata vajrapancha. We may work in a certain way, in a certain place, with a certain set of senses and endeavor in a certain way. But finally the result depends not only on those factors, but ultimately on destiny. Destiny ultimately means the hand of God. Therefore, they say, Ishala. Quite rightly. It's all in the hands of God, not in our hands. We'll work, we'll do everything, we'll make all the plans and arrangements. But finally, if God desires, it will happen. And if God wants to block it, no way is it going to happen. Therefore we say, if Krishna desires.
Mm-hmm. You talked about Ananya Mana, so that one should
talk
about fixed mind and undistracted mind, one should engage oneself. But typically when you're working, there is so many distractions. So when one attends a class, one feels like being Ananya Mana, so but immediately afterwards, when one engages in work and continuously in material life also, we're trying to progress career-wise, we're trying to progress and thereby taking more responsibility. So how does it work together, and how does one remain in that state of Ananya Manaso?
How does one remain in the state of Ananya Manaso? Because we sit in the class and we think this is a good idea, and then we go to work and we start thinking about everything else. But we should think that my work is for Krishna. Why do I want to advance in my career? Why do I want to advance in my whatever it is, my work? Finally, it should be for the service of Krishna. Otherwise, might as well quit. It's not going to be dedicated to the service of Krishna, and it's Maya. So I should, my work, my family affairs, my everything should be dedicated to the service of Krishna. And then while engaging in those things, I'll think of Krishna. Prabhupada gives an example. Hare Krishna. Jai. Prabhupada gives an example that a mother is working to send her child through school. But while working, she's always thinking, how's the boy? She's always thinking about him, because she's working for that. Or the Prabhupada's classic example is that there's a woman who has some lover other than her husband. So she's doing her housework very nicely. But her mind is, when will I meet him? Even that's why she's doing the housework nicely, so that her husband won't find out, nobody will know, no one will suspect. But inwardly, her mind is simply, when will we meet? Well, that's lover consciousness. So if it's possible in the material world, then why not on the spiritual platform also? As there's lover consciousness materially, there's Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada uses that phrase, we have to mold our lives in such a way that we can't help but think of Krishna. That takes some practice. Maharaj Yudhisthira, he was doing everything. He held a big yajna, Rajasuya yajna. Rajasuya yajna is described as being like an ocean of fruit of activities. And you can imagine all the arrangements that go into making a Rajasuya yajna. First he had to defeat all the opposing kings and get them out of the way, and then of course you have to have so many Brahmins, you have to arrange for so much cash, gold and things like that, because now you're going to have golden utensils and so much ghee and grains, and plus you have to give so much charity, all the practical arrangements. It's a huge thing, Rajasuya, you're inviting all these big, big people who have to be seen to. So what goes into a Rajasuya? Therefore it's not to be performed by an ordinary small timer. It has to be performed by the undisputed king. So Maharaj Yudhisthira undertook this Rajasuya sacrifice, which was a huge thing. But he only did it to glorify Krishna. He only did it to glorify Krishna, to demonstrate Prabhupada's that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God. So when such kings can be involved in such huge affairs, they keep their minds fixed on Krishna. So we can follow their example.
Maharaj, but the kind of activities that you described, those are nice activities in which one can, of course, engage one's mind.
Killing people is a nice activity. You have to do that. They're fighting and overcoming the other kings. So he has to, of course, Kshatriya may consider that this is a nice activity, but it's a little tough also.
What I meant was, Maharaj, that things like working on a computer for 8-9 hours. So how does one, in such a situation, how does one know?
How do you work on a computer for 8 or 9 hours and think of Krishna? Yes, you have to think that I'm working on this computer for Krishna. Of course, computers are usually configurable, so there's all sorts of things you can do to make them conducive to Krishna consciousness. All the Krishna conscious screensavers and sound files and wallpaper.
Icons.
Cursors.
Passwords.
A devotee's computer and a materialist's computer, they even look different. Right? Materials have some sort of heavy metal or some sort of Bollywood something, or they've got all this junk on their computer and horrible sounds, horrible sights, and it's all and their passwords are even horrible. A Krishna conscious person, he makes his computer. He configures his computer in such a way that it will remind him of Krishna. And while working on the computer, he thinks this is my service. Doing this because I'm giving the result to Krishna. That also should be for the householders. Charity is very important, because if I work, then really my mind is on the money, right? I mean, if that's why I'm working, I don't work for free. I work because you pay me. So now, where's the money going? That's where my mind is going to be. We don't think about, we think about spending money, and we think, I'm going to get this, I'm going to get that, should I buy this or should I buy that? Should I invest it here, should I invest it there? In our mind, even before we made it, in our minds we're spending it. Right? The mind is right there with the cash. So, therefore, one is advised to purify one's existence by dedicating charity to the service of Krishna and Krishna's movement, Krishna's devotees. So then your mind becomes busy in the same thing. But instead of thinking, you know, I could buy this, I could buy that, I will buy this, I will buy that, you're thinking, I'll build this temple, or I'll print these books, or I'll help this project, or I'll, in different ways, you start planning, I'll decorate the deity this way, or I'll buy flowers for Krishna that way, or you're thinking how to spend your money for Krishna. So then you become Krishna conscious. Therefore, it's a very important function. It's not just that, you know, something invented by clever priests to pick your pocket. But it's actually for our benefit that by spending our money for Krishna, materialist, he wants to, you have to wring it out of him. You know, he wants to hold on to his money at all costs. But a Krishna conscious person looks forward to the opportunity. How much can I give? How much can I give? Just like in our temple, sometimes we think, you know, when there's a marathon or there's some such event, we think, how can I give, what's the maximum? How can I give more? Typically when we have book distribution programs and so on, the temples are thinking, how can I give more to the BBT? You know, how can I give more than I thought I could give? So, of course, it doesn't mean that you break the bank and you... But by thinking in that way, that let me give something for Krishna, how much can I give? How can I give it? Where should I give it? How can I use it for doing something nice for Krishna? And your mind becomes active like that. There's different services. Thinking, you're working, but you're thinking, what kind of service can I do?
In the 12th chapter, I think in the older version of Bhagavad Gita, written in the second verse, the Blessed Lord said, since he is the source of all, why this God, and why be blessed, he gives blessings, why is he called Blessed Lord?
Why is he called the Blessed Lord in the Bhagavad Gita? Well, there's a very practical reason why he's called the Blessed Lord, and that is that Prabhupada's editor for the Bhagavad Gita made him the Blessed Lord. Prabhupada, the word, of course, is Bhagavan, Sri Bhagavan, Sri Bhagavan Raja. So you know what that means. It means the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Or you know Bhagavan, who has all opulences, who has all... Yes, opulence. So Sri Bhagavan, we're familiar with this Sanskrit word, or in India it's there also. Some of the languages it's probably the same, huh? Sri Bhagavan. So Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. And Prabhupada rendered it into English, the Supreme Personality of Godhead said, which is quite a mouthful of English, actually. It's a very unusual sort of phrase. And Prabhupada's English editor apparently thought that it was more, it was neater and cleaner to use this phrase, which I think he picked up from some other edition of Bhagavad Gita, the Blessed Lord. So, of course, blessed doesn't necessarily mean that someone else has blessed him. It means he has all opulence. Some other question? Well, shall we end here? What shall we do? I'm still in London time, so... I'm not quite hooked into your schedule. Shall we? Tell me what to do.
One question which I couldn't answer to the person who asked me. The whole parampara, I mean, there is not a single female anyone there? I mean, why is there so much dominance in the male form? If God considers both man, everyone equal? So this is the question that
in the parampara, why is there so much? Why are all the members men? Why is there male dominance? Yes, because we're male chauvinist pigs. Yes, generally the men are considered stronger, and the women are the assistant section. Now they've, you know, they want to have a sociology where everyone's equal. But it doesn't really work. It doesn't really work. Woman's nature is to be dependent. If she has no husband or someone to depend on, she looks for someone to depend on. Either another man or, you know, or a priest or somebody. And women's nature is to be just like a vine. A vine doesn't just grow. A vine looks for something to grab onto and then grows. There's nature. Okay, so, you know, it's not fair. Why should vines have to be dependent on something? Why can't they grow straight like bushes? Because they're vines. You know, it's not all one out there. Bushes grow on their own, vines hold on to something. So women are happier and better situated when they have some man to depend on. And then they can execute Krishna consciousness very nicely. Of course there are, in the parampara system, Janava Devi is there, Ganga Mata Goswamini. Advaita's, or you can take it that when Advaita charges there, then his wife Sitarani is also there. When the sun is there, then the sunshine is also there. So when Advaita charges there, then his wife Sita Thakurani is there, when Nityananda Prabhu is there, when Janaka Devi is there. But when the six Goswamis are there, then there's no. Even, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. No, go ahead.
Regarding this, Guru Parampara.
Guru Parampara system?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that started this Diksha system for the first time.
Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur started the Diksha system? No, Diksha has always been there. That's not started by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Dikshas going on since longer than we can calculate. Brahma was initiated by Krishna by the sound of the flute. And he's the first initiated person to Diksha from Krishna. In the writings of the Goswamis, we find Jiva Goswami discussing Diksha. In the Vedic times, so much was said about, you know, being initiated for sacrifices. Diksha's not there. Mahaprabhu initiated the Goswamis, yes. He changed their, of course he didn't perform ceremonies and so on. The ceremony is not the essence of the thing. It was like Prabhupada sometimes, when he went to Moscow, he met one Russian boy and gave him initiation. What was the initiation? Prabhupada sat on his bed and chanted one another's beads and said, your name is such and such, and what are the rules, what are the, that's all, no yoga, no fire, no nothing. Because those ceremonies, just like marriage, you know, it's not that you need all of these, you know, 100 guests and big fees and so many things. Really, they exchange garlands and not too much. Well, that's the essence of the thing. The essence of the thing really is commitment. And there's some ceremonies that formalize the commitment. And you can make it very elaborate. You can do so many things. Or you can do it very simply. So, actually in Prabhupada's time, the initiations were a little more simple. There was no water pot to be installed. They were, you know, very simple. Prabhupada's initiations were very simple. Then some of the senior devotees learned more about the rituals and so on and introduced some of the other features. And Prabhupada's doing very simple. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, just Rupa Sanatana changed their names, that's all. But there was, they surrendered to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Initiations. Yeah. Gaur Kishordas Babaji Maharaj, what about him? No. He was respecting Bhaktivinoda Thakur as spiritual master, that's all. But he got his initiation, he was initiated somewhere else. Somewhere in Vaishnava. But he was respecting Bhaktivinoda Thakur as Shikshar Guru. Therefore the line is not always traced by Diksha. Sometimes it's traced by instruction. There are two kinds of spiritual masters. Initiating spiritual master and instructing spiritual master. Generally the spiritual master who instructs becomes the initiating spiritual master also. But when they have many instructing spiritual masters, initiating spiritual master can only be one. But sometimes the line is traced through the instructing spiritual master. Sometimes his position is very given more prominence. Bhaktivinoda Thakur also didn't take initiation from Srinath Das Babaji Maharaj. But he was respecting him as spiritual master. No, it wasn't. The seminaries were not introduced by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Bhaktivinoda Thakur also accepted initiation according to the Vaishnava rituals. Just not from Raghunath Das Babaji Maharaj. He accepted formal initiation from another Vaishnava. But not that he said, well, initiation isn't important, I won't get initiated. He's initiated. Initiation was not introduced by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. It's come around such a long time. We have a certain standard procedure in ISKCON how we do initiations and so on. And it may differ someplace else. They may do it a little bit differently. But initiate, you go to Madhva Sampradaya. Initiation is going on. Go to the Ramanuja Sampradaya, initiation is going on. Vishnu Swami Sampradaya, all the Sampradaya, Shankaracharya Sampradaya, all the Vedic, the whole Vedic community, they have this system of initiation. It's not, since long, not something introduced by Bhakti, you know. Otherwise, why is it, otherwise we'd expect that only the Gaudiya Vaishnavas are getting initiated, because it was initiated. Instituted by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. But no, it's present in all the different sampradayas. Even the Mayavadis have the initiation. Okay. Yes?
Why have I stopped?
Accepting disciples. Yeah, you're right, it's a personal question. Any impersonal questions? Okay, sure. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. Sorry, Shri Prabhupada. Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Premanande.